Pasuk says, the beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. We concluded in recent weeks all of the plans for the Kelim in the Mishkan itself. At the beginning of this week's Parsha, we also talk about some other elements of the Mishkan, namely the Ketores and the Shemen HaMishcha, which have to be mixed in order to initiate the Mishkan and the Kelim as well, and the Kohanim too. So, Perek Lamed Aleph starts with, Re'ei Karasi B'Shem B'Tzal Ben Uri Ben Chur L'Matei Yehuda. The person who's going to carry this out, Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu thought, after all the last couple of weeks of instructions, Vasisa this, Vasisa that, Moshe Rabbeinu thought he was going to be the man. He was going to be the one to put this all together. There's only one, if I'm not mistaken, pasuk and one element of the Mishkan that's written in plural, Vasu. Generally, it's Vasisa. Sounds like Hashem's talking directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vasu, it says by the Aron Kodesh. Why? So the many drushes about this, not for now, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka wanted to relate Torah, because that's the one element, the core factor of Yiddishkeit that belongs to everybody. Other elements of the Mishkan, reserved for the Kohanim, reserved for the Levium, but Torah is something which is uniform, universal, for every single one of us. So it has to be Va'asu, and everyone has to contribute to it in a similar fashion. Okay, not for now. But Va'asisa, so Moshe Rabbeinu thought he was going to be the one to assemble everything. He was going to be the one to collect all the materials and also put it together. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. Re'ei Karasi B'Shem. See that I have identified by name. Interesting, B'Shem. So you already get the impression that the name is going to be very important over here. The name is not just coincidental. Re'ei Karasi B'Shem. I could have just been Re'ei Karasi. Behold, I have called upon so-and-so. What does it mean that I called upon him by name? So it's something to keep in mind that the Shem, Hashem says Shem, is the two letters in the center of Neshama. Because of shame, we know many Kabbalistic sources indicate that a person's essence is encapsulated somehow in his name. So one way in which that expressed itself, that's the Baal Shem Tov, that it's in the center of the neshama. The Shem Tov Fuller Hirsch, without the Kabbalah, says that you can arrive at that same conclusion. The word shame is shun, there. Right? There. That's where we can identify the person. We look into his name and see what we have to encapsulate his essence and his being. That's where we'll find it. Shem, in his shame. I have to add, I said this a couple years ago, we had a beautiful Shal Shuris for BNP in my apartment. So Rudali Shor writes in Parsha Shmos, another type from shame. Shame, because it tells us so much about a person, sometimes it tells us more about a person's potential. Because a person receives his name when he's born. So from the time he's born, he's already thrust in the direction that he's supposed to be heading, and it's up to him to take that essence that he's been given through his name and do something with it, and maximize it, and achieve and accomplish his potential. So Zakhtar Vidal Shor, unbelievable we'll say. What do we say to Bris? Kishem Shenichnas L'Bris, Keni Kanas L'Tarach Hu B'Maisim Tovim. Kishem Shenichnas L'Bris. With the same elements of the name, meaning the qualities that you've been imbued with, the midos and the kochos that Hashem has given you at your bris, when your parents name you, kishem shenechnas l'bris, so should you be zocha, this young baby, to carry it with you as your guiding light that you are able to actualize as you move into further stages in life, Torah l'chup l'maisim tovim, to continue along that path, fulfilling what it is that name has provided you with from the time you enter this world. Beautiful for us. Say it over a bris. You should write that one down. Make sure you have it. If you ever ask the Mirza Shem to speak a simcha, Shalom Zachar also, a two-for-one deal. Yeah? Kishem Shemechlus Bris. Okay. So Re'ei Karasi B'Shem, we see over here something very important about the name Betzal. Betzal ben Uri ben Chur al-Mati Yehuda. So when you read that puzzle, what strikes you? Especially once we know that the name is pivotal over here. Re'ei Karasi B'Shem, Brandon. Betzal ben Uri ben Chur al-Mati Yehuda. Anybody?
Lamati Yehuda? What is Lamati Yehuda?
Lamati Yehuda means he's from the Shevet Yehuda.
Okay.
Betzalel, what does it mean? That's his name. Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur. As I'll say, Betzalel means Betzel Kale. It was in the shade of God.
Why does it stop
Good. Let's go with the way Bernie asked it, okay? Throughout the Torah, how do we identify people? Their name and their father's name, right? The father is usually sufficient. Do we know that there was like another Betzalel ben Uri?
In Yeshua also, you're like a chain. No, we usually go to his name and his father's name. Yeshua ben Nun.
We got 4 or 5 generations.
Mordechai. Okay, good. Right. So Mordechai. Right. So Mordechai. Mordechai, we do have more extensive. So there we know that his lineage has significance. More in the first paragraph of Megillah we saw talks about that. But it obviously is a red flag. Okay, that's all we need to know right now. It's a red flag. If the Torah goes out of its way to identify someone by more than one generation, there's got to be something else hidden within that, a family tree.
What other characters we have with this?
So Maxwell's pointing to Mordechai.
Yeah, in the Tanakh, not...
That's in Tanakh.
Okay, so in the Torah.
In the Torah. Where else do we have in the Torah? So you have at the beginning of Parshas Korach.
Right.
The beginning of Parshas Korach says... It says, "Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi." Right.
Yeah.
So there you have Korach is one generation, Yitzhar is 2 generations, and then Kahas is 3 generations, and then Ben Levi is 4. So it could be it has something to do with what Rashi says over here that we stop Dafka at Levi to emphasize we're not including Yaakov because of something Yaakov said earlier before he died when he was blessing Levi that he wanted to stay separate. He wanted to disassociate himself from Korach. So it could be there's an emphasis on that. You have by Pinchas also, being a Parshas Pinchas. Pasuk says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. There also, Rashi says, that we wanted to associate him with Aaron. Unbelievable vort, right? This is you had him on Chaim Shmulevitz's vort. Parshas Pinchas. Very good, Brandon. So what Brandon is referring to is like this. It says in Chazal, why do we have to go back so many generations? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, because who is Aaron? Aaron is always Shalom, brother Shalom, right? He's the model of peace and love, Klal Yisrael. And who's Pinchas, right? If someone asks you to draw a picture of Pinchas, I got a sword, a spear, I'm coming to like slice him and dice him. Yeah, like Mamish, he's the Kanoi, the fight. So isn't it a little ironic to say them in the same breath? Explains Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Adirav, that's the word. That only because he had in his genes the love of Klal Yisrael, could he be the one to bring the Musar of Klal Yisrael? Sometimes you have a person who gives a lot of Musar and goes around yelling at everybody, doing this wrong, doing that wrong, killing people, fighting people, beating people up, making demonstrations, at the Israeli Day Parade or who knows what. Yeah, people make a lot of noise. But only if a person is doing it out of love, so then it's for real, then it's legit. Then you're not just an angry person who wants to, start up with people. It's an important lesson there. Okay? But Adrava, Yashikar Brandon, you're making the Kasha stronger. So what is it about Bitsal and Uri ben Hur? So what do we got to do? We have to analyze Hur. What do we know about Hur? Who is Hur? Hur appears in this parsha, appears in Parsha B'Shalach also. That's the first time that we have him in the Torah. Where is Hur?
Miriam.
Correct, right? So in the Parsha B'Shalach, when Klal Yisrael is fighting Amalek, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on the mountain, and he's sitting, and he needs his hands supported so that he can daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and people see him with his arms outstretched to heaven. Aaron is his right-hand man, and Hur is holding his left hand. So Hur was a leader. Hur was one of the most prominent people of Klal Yisrael. Aaron, Hur, and Moshe, they're numbers 1, 2, and 3. It's pretty chashuv, right? Where else does Hur appear again? Hur gives up his life. Hur gives up his life to stop the Jewish people from creating the Chet HaEgel. He says, just wait a little bit longer. What are you so nervous about? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back, have a little amunah. He told us he's going to come. Give him a little more time. Maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we counted wrong. Don't be in a rush to throw in the towel. And what happens? It's a pellet. He gets lynched. He gets killed. Just for sticking up, for saying,
yeah.
Believe in Moshe. Have a little more patience.
It wasn't insecurity or fear. It was rebellion. So
okay.
Actually,
I can Catholic Gemara says in Sanhedrin we saw last year in Dav Zayin, I believe. Dav Ches, Aaron HaKohen, right? It's hard to believe. It says in the Pasuk that Aaron was really the one who was responsible for putting together the Chet HaEgel.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, because he was afraid for his life. He saw what happened to Hur. You stick up against the mob, you get killed.
Mysterious nefesh to Avodah Zarah, though, no?
So, good question. The Gemara talks about what exactly Aaron had in mind, what his plan was. Maybe he was just stalling. But in terms of the threat, he felt the same threat.
Where did it say what happened to Hur?
That's the message. Doesn't say it explicitly. That's right. No, the Gemara says it. Gemara brings it in that in Sanhedrin. I'll show it to you that. So Hur was the one who gave up his life to prevent the Chet HaEgel. So isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic? We'll say. But how old was Bezalel at this time? 13 years old. He was a little bar mitzvah boy. Bezalel watched his own grandfather be murdered by an angry mob. who were trying to create an avodah zara to replace Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the purpose, according to the Rambam? What was the purpose of building the Mishkan in the first place? What was the purpose? Was this really originally part of the plan?
No.
It was a kapara. Kapara for what? For the Chet Ega. Kapara for the Chet Ega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show us in some way that he brought his Shechina back into Klal Yisrael. We had a place where he can rest within the camp after HaKadosh Baruch Hu departed from us in the aftermath of the Chet Ega. So this whole construction project, this massive endeavor, which takes up half the Sefer Shmos and basically all of Vayikra with the Karbon, right? This was all because of the Chet Ega. And who was the one who needed the kapara for the Chet Ega? All those people who were responsible for killing Chor. So what happens? Essentially, his grandson, Bezalel, who was standing at the mountain watching these people murder his grandfather, finally they're all coming crawling back to him. Yeah, we killed your grandfather, but now we need your help. Now we need you to be the one to help us achieve that kapara. We need you to build the Mishkan, despite the fact that we killed your grandfather in the process of bringing us to this point. We need you. So the reason we go back three generations was because we need to emphasize that he wasn't just anybody, but he was the grandson of Chor. And if there's anyone out there in all of Klal Yisrael who has the right, who deserves to have a little resentment and a little like, oh, now you come crawling back to me, where were you before when you murdered my grandfather? And nevertheless, he's the one who overcomes that potential to stick it back at them, and Afal Pichin he builds them the Mishkan. With that in mind, there's a Rashi that now Mamash is revealing. It makes so much sense. You fast forward to Pekudei, once again his name is mentioned, which by the way, to strengthen the Kasha, it's not just in Parshas Kisisa that we mention Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. Again, when he's brought up in Vayakal, and finally in Pekudei, each time we mention all three names. So it's clearly not a coincidence. So look at Parshas Pekudei. Ela Pekudei, Amishkan, Mishkan, Aedashar, Pukar, Alpi Moshe. Next pasuk, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, Mate Yehuda. Also, Issachar, Asher, Tziva, Hashem, Moshe. Bezalel did everything that Hashem commanded. Yeah? So, question is, did he really do everything that was commanded? No. They were all the people in Klal Yisrael with all their different skills and craftsmanship and abilities who came together. He was just a leader. So Sog Rashi, yeah, but he was the one who was Moser Nefesh for the project, so therefore it's called after his name. What does that mean? This is what it means. According to Behenach, what it means is, where was his Moser Nefesh? Because he mamish put himself out, despite the fact that he owed these people nothing. They killed his grandfather, and now they're coming and asking him to build a Mishkan? What? He's supposed to give chesed, and Aval Pichin, despite the fact that he was Ben Uri Ben Hur, he still gave it his all. He was Moser himself to give it to them, even though they didn't deserve it. And it's a model, Rabbosai, getting back to what we discussed earlier today, it's a model of what real chesed is. Chesed, ultimately, is not just about doing mitzvahs and helping your friend, people you want to do something for, right? Shalach manas. You can give it to your neighbor who you're already friends with, or you can definitely give it to your enemy, the person where you need to repair things, where you need to improve your relationship. See, the lesson of Bezalel, he owed the people nothing, but Afal Pichin, when he was given the responsibility, he took it with the same degree of exuberance and excitement and commitment and dedication to help the people who didn't deserve the help, because that was his responsibility. He was given the kohos to accomplish that. And likewise, whether it be in Ches Ben Olam L'Chaver or Ben Olam L'Makom, the things we're excited to do because they speak to us, and things that maybe we don't understand fully, and we don't jump to do. But a commitment to that Avodas Hashem has to be equivalent, regardless of the context, simply because that's our responsibility, simply because that's what Gosh Baruch Hu asked of us. There's no relativity. Okay.